don't take any pleasure in kicking the Big Ten here, Michael. Oh, or do we? Michael Braddon joining us on the show. They got some problems.
And I would also like to thank both my fans for showing up. I didn't have to pay them too much, but they're here.
They've come out. These guys have been here on a cold, rainy night.
Yeah, but Big Ten. Who could have seen this coming? 18 teams. They're struggling to get 3 in the college football playoff, while the SEC may get 6 or 7.
Maybe. But I'm sure that committee will find a way to help them out.
Man, what has Alabama got to do to be ranked over Notre Dame, Paul? That's what I want to know. I guess run the ball a little bit better?
Well, they need to run the ball better. They need a little more efficiency in their special teams.
Paul, how do we get to a point where the man that hired Chad Morris to coach football is running the college football playoff? I think that's the biggest question.
I was told today I can no longer talk about Hunter Yurecek. That memo came in late in the afternoon that you have not been kind to Hunter Yurecek.
Okay.
I'd say Hunter Yurecek did a better job, though, on ESPN Tuesday night than he did at the Little Rock Touchdown Club.
Yeah, I mean, what did you throw Sam Pittman under the bus? He threw.
That's when he said we don't have a championship program here.
We don't. We didn't support the last coach. So if I'm right now, and apparently they're interviewing everybody under the sun, Coach O, John Gruden, that would be number one question.
So Thabel told us about 2 or 3 hours ago they'll have a coach by this weekend.
Okay.
Who is it?
I think the one guy that I've heard, which I think your audience will particularly be interested in, is Alabama defense coordinator Kane Womack. I think he's a candidate for the Arkansas job.
Okay.
I don't think they can get a head coach to take it.
I've missed these days with you.
But no, I mean, Arkansas is a fine program. I think you always go opposite, right? Younger guy, defensive minded.
They could always get. Oh, Sam Pittman, he just fired him. I'm sorry.
I think they could get Coach O if they really
try. Coach
tried.
O would be good. Mm-hmm. Isn't he going with Kip? Oh, we'll get to Kippen in a minute.
Right.
Okay, for the audience that's just maybe getting off work or just joining us, there was a statement issued earlier today by Keith Carter. He's the vice chancellor of Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an AD, how do you become a vice chancellor? Is that like you have an extra degree maybe?
Well, from what I understand, he does yoga, hot yoga with Kiffin often.
I've already read this 3 times, and I can't get through it because I grew up where if I turned in this to my editors, they would have fired me.
Mm-hmm.
Read this statement to our audience. This is from Keith Carter.
All right. Coach Kiffin and I have had many pointed and positive conversations about the future of Ole Miss, including meeting today with Chancellor Boyce. While we discuss next steps, we know we cannot lose sight of what is most important, our 6th-ranked team that is poised to finish the regular season in historic fashion. Despite the outside noise, Coach Kiffin is focused on preparing our team for the Egg Bowl, and together we want to ensure that our players and coaches can concentrate fully on next Friday's game. This team is on the cusp of an unprecedented season, and it's imperative they feel the support of the Ole Miss family in the week ahead. An announcement on Coach Kiffin's future is expected Saturday following the game.
Keith Carter, Vice Chancellor for Intercollegiate Athletics, the University of Mississippi.
I could have done that in 2 words, Paul. He gone. Lane Kiffin's gone. I mean, he's had the opportunity to sign.
Is there any doubt in your mind?
Absolutely not. You know, they had this meeting, and I would imagine he had a couple options, sign the extension, finish out the regular season.
I'm sure they gave him a chance to re-sign right then, didn't they?
I'm sure. He's had it for weeks, Paul. And he's not taking it. And, you know, if I'm an Ole Miss fan, I'm pretty upset right now because we got a historic team right now. The opportunity, like Keith Carter said, I know we're mocking it, but the first 11-win team in school history, they have a Heisman running back. They have their quarterback's the best story in college football. They had a teammate die, got murdered in the summer. I mean, this team has overcome a ton, and all the focus is on Lane Kiffin and what he's going to do next. I think it's disgraceful.
Michael Braddon joining us here trying to get up enough nerve to give us his opinion on what's happening with Lane Kiffin. Kiffin tried to defuse this issue the other day when he went on Pat McAfee.
Oh, man. And what a job he did. I don't know if he's got an acting career in his future, Paul, but that was the worst performance I've seen from Lane Kiffin pretty much his entire career. I mean, the whole thing was dramatized. It was nonsensical. It was rah-rah. Again, he's trying to – I think he just went on there to say the ultimatum was not truly an ultimatum. That was worthless. And I am a fan of Pat McAfee, but I don't know why he agreed to do that if that's what they were going to do. I mean, that was a wasted 10 minutes of TV time.
Well, I don't know what the setup was, but I'm sure McAfee had him on because he was the man of the moment, and he might say something interesting.
Well, he certainly didn't, Paul. I've got a words of wisdom for Florida or LSU or wherever Lane Kiffin goes next. He's going to do this to you, too. So ooh, you may have won the battle, but you haven't won the war. Because as soon as
feels
Bama.
It's like a country song, doesn't it? Like, you know, like the guy said, yeah, she did it to me, and she'll do it to you.
When the Bama job opens, when the Texas job opens, when the NFL comes calling, whatever it is, Lane Kiffin always has eyes on what's next. It's going to happen to them, too.
That's my friend Lane Kiffin you're talking about.
Tell me I'm wrong, Paul.
I can't, because I'm with you. I mean, I think it's I think that statement was just Carter said, okay, we had a meeting with Kiffin. He didn't say anything. Chancellor there is a really nice guy. We've had him on a couple of times. I've got to put out something, but I have no earthly idea. So let's all get together and see how many words we can use to say nothing.
Right. And, hey, I hate it, Paul, because if this happens, if Kiffin leaves before Ole Miss goes to the college football playoff, which if they win, they for sure are going to the playoff, and they're going to do it with a new coach, something has to change. And I think this is a challenge for Commissioner Greg Sankey. He's the best commissioner in the sport. We've got to do something with the college football calendar. I think we've got to push the recruiting back. We've got to push the transfer portal back. And we've got to let this play out because Kiffin will not be the last. There will be many coaches that leave prior to the college football playoff. He's just going to be the first to do it. And I think it's a black eye for the sport.
Do you think it's possible if Kiffin leaves, they could bring in an interim coach who has a lot of experience coaching in the SEC? Hugh Freeze is available. We'll be right back with Michael Bratton after this.
You're watching the Fall Fun Bomb Show, presented by Johnsonville.
So we wind up this hour with Michael Bratton. Hey, it's been a while since we've been with you.
I thought you lost my number.
I've lost a lot of people's numbers lately. great to have you on. So let's kind of figure some other things out. Alabama. They're a big topic on the show occasionally.
Right.
Still. What's at stake for Caitlin? I just saw that they're only going to be about a 5.5-point favorite at Auburn.
Yeah, I think Auburn's playing a weaker opponent in Mercer this weekend, but it'll give us a good indication, just like the previous game against Vanderbilt, first game without Hugh Freeze. That was a massive addition by subtraction. So that'll give us an indication of what it's going to be in the Iron Bowl. But, man, Kalen DeBoer, or DeBoering as I call him, he's got everything on the line because if they lose this game, maybe he might as well take that Penn State job because I don't know how welcome he's going to be. I don't, but sure. if he doesn't make the playoff 2 years out of two, making the playoffs not good enough for Alabama. They're trying to win the thing, and they have a team capable of getting it done. But how they screwed up that Oklahoma game, I'll never know. And, I mean, it's still a joke to me that they're behind Notre Dame.
I agree with that, but – I mean, to me, you know, they beat Auburn. They're in the SEC championship game, but they're still not. They still have some issues, though, depending on who they play, and depending on how that game goes. I mean, they're not a lock.
I think they're a little too dependent on Ty Simpson, okay. Even though I think he's a phenomenal player, but I don't think he can carry the entire team. And they're asking him to do that week in and week out. And even against Oklahoma, make one or two mistakes, and they can't overcome it.
Talking to Brad here, and we're trying to figure some things out, Brad, as we look at Ty Simpson right there. And he has had a good year, but he had some well, – I say that as he throws a pick six against Oklahoma. The idea that Oklahoma could make the playoffs is pretty remarkable. When you go back, 4 weeks and where they were after the Ole Miss game with Tennessee and Alabama on the road.
No doubt. And, Paul, I mean, I've made a couple of the trips out to Norman. I know you have, too. I love that fan base. They're phenomenal. But all season I've been saying, I don't know if Brent Venables, if he's an elite SEC coach. I think he's starting to win Merges one, and he certainly is, I think, the best defensive coach in the entire country. Oklahoma gets into the playoff. I think they're a dangerous team. I don't know if they have the offense to make it a win multiple games, but they have a defense capable of winning the national championship, I think.
How about them dogs? Woof, woof.
As they boo him in the background. Hey, let's give credit to Mike Bobo. I mean, those fans have wanted him run out of town many times.
A lot of people.
He should be the winner of the Broyles Award given to the nation's top assistant coach. He is dialing it up. They embarrassed Texas deep. I was told, Paul, that Texas had an elite defense. They got torn to shreds. They were all out of place. The secondary looked about as good as Mississippi State in that one. So, big game, Kirby.
That was quite a play right there.
He's got he's got the pulse of that team, Paul. This is one of the youngest teams in the conference. They're playing better and better each week. Georgia's good enough to win it all.
Vandy, where we're at right now, is going to Knoxville next week. I want to get your thoughts on Tennessee because, I've heard Tennessee people say, well, we're going to be pretty disappointed to go 9-3, but they haven't gotten to 9-3 yet.
No, they haven't, Paul, and they may not even get to 8-4 because they got to go down to the swamp and then face mighty Vanderbilt with Diego Pavia. I mean, come on. I'm a Tennessee grad. I favor Vanderbilt to go into Neyland Stadium and beat Tennessee. That for both my fans there, Paul.
As a Tennessee grad, I'm more worried about tomorrow.
Absolutely. I mean, they haven't won down there since 2003. It's a house of horrors. Tennessee could be 10-0. Florida could be 0-10. I think I'd still pick Florida to win that game. I mean, Tennessee just does not win in the swamp, and they're not winning tomorrow in the swamp.
Really?
No. They'll blow it in some horrendous fashion at the end.
Well, you're just a man of great confidence tonight, aren't you?
Well, hey, I've said Tennessee is going to win that game about 12 times in a row, and I think I'm 1-for-11, so I'm going the other way.
Okay, talking to Michael Bratton here as we begin to wind things up. Brett, we keep forgetting that LSU is conducting a coaching search. Now, they just fired Brian Kelly today, I read. they sent him the termination letter.
What, 3 weeks after they kicked him out the door, they terminated him. Okay, well, I wonder, Paul, if you have a line to the governor, because I think he's the one controlling all the cards down here in LSU.
Don't know the governor there.
Oh, okay. Well, Lane Kiffin does, if that tells you anything. But the fact that they've officially terminated Brian Kelly, I think that gives you an indication of how close they are to getting Lane Kiffin.
Think Kiffin would go there over Florida?
I think he's there next Saturday.
Do you really?
As soon as he wins or loses the Egg Bowl, I think he's jumping on that jet to Baton Rouge immediately after the game.
Ooh, Michael Bratton with a revelation. Why LSU over Florida?
Well,
or Ole Miss for that matter.
Right. Well, if I were him, I would stay at Ole Miss. He says it's the good old days. He's living the good old days. I don't know anyone that walks away from the good old days. Maybe you, but Kiffin has not decided to do that just yet, and I don't think he should. Paul, he said, go back to that McAfee appearance. One game, you're out of the top 10, two, you're out of the top 25, three, they run you out of here. That's a bold-faced lie, because Ole Miss lost three games they shouldn't have last year, and they gave him more ammunition to build this playoff team. He's got it made in Oxford. Why he's flirting with Baton Rouge and Gainesville, I'll never know, but I think he's gone, Paul. I think if he's going to stay, he would have already signed that paper.
Well, I mean, back to that, you can't get away from that story. I understand, okay, maybe letting this thing drag out for a few days just to make sure he's done his due diligence or his family or whomever, but letting it get into the weekend, and now Carter says till next week.
Right, and he had to do that, Paul, because it's becoming a bigger and bigger distraction in Oxford, within the locker room, even within the coaching staff. Something has to give, and if they lose the Egg Bowl, I think it's going to be worse than the scene when he left Tennessee when we were burning mattresses as he fled out of town.
Yeah, no, I mean, compared to that, this is dramatically worse.
Absolutely,
he was only there a year.
I mean, he's got an E360 out there. He's
McGee was
man.
There like, talking about. I wanted to say McGee. Everything that was said in there is about to be proven incorrect.
Right, he's built so much goodwill. Not only with that community, obviously, he's rebuilt his image, his national image. I think he tears it all to shreds if he leaves a team destined for the playoff to go coach in Baton Rouge. But he'll still do it because he's Lane Kiffin, or Whiffin, as I call him. It's the biggest whiff of his career right here.
I don't know if I can handle any more of this. Okay, we'll take a break here. Just completely destroy my close friend Lane Kiffin. He'll still do our show, though. I promise you. Oh. I don't care what hat he's wearing. He will continue to have that weird, awkward show every year at Destin and the SEC Media Day.
I have no doubt.
The Paul Feinbaum Show is presented by Johnsonville, reminding you to keep it fun, keep it together, and keep it juicy.